Hi, everybody. Welcome back to What's the Point? Podcast from Trinity Lutheran Church in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I am here with my people. I'm Heather. Who else is here?
I'm Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Hi.
I'm Tom, and I didn't cut Katie off today.
Hey, way to go. So we are about to enter into our second conversation in this series where we are talking about all things worship. Because what's a better topic for a podcast than to talk about worship? If you're wondering why Tom and Katie and I started a podcast, it was because we needed a space to be nerdy. Yeah. And so this is what you get.
That's true.
And you don't throw a fit.
That's right. So, all right, before we get started today, friends, tell me about either, I'll let you pick, either an experience of like a really great sermon or a really terrible sermon. But if you talk about a terrible sermon, you have to be able to tell about it without throwing anybody under the bus.
I've got it. Only because this was pure anecdotal from someone in seminary told me their worst experience of a sermon.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay. So let's set the scene. We're at a wedding in northern Minnesota.
Burr.
Whew, a little chilly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fall wedding. Beautiful autumnal blaze in the trees. It's outdoors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Groom. Oh, no. Big outdoorsman. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Bride. Not an outdoors person.
Mm-hmm.
The pastor decides to talk about and use the analogy. Here we go. The analogy of their courting, I don't know, their relationship, their dating, right?
Okay.
As a hunter tracking prey.
Oh, no.
Talked about the diligence and effort that they've put in as a hunter does preparing to go out. I'm like,
ew.
Stop. That's gross.
I know, right?
Why?
Yeah. Big yikes. So anyways, that is the bar I set for myself, like,
yeah,
that's at least that's how low you can go.
Yeah.
So just keep it above that.
Holy okay
buckets. And then you're okay.
Katie, what you got anything for us?
Oh my gosh. Hi, Andy.
Hi, we're saying hi to Andy. He's walking past right now.
He was very excited.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do I have anything? That's a really good question. I don't, like, nothing specifically really sticks out. I think because the really bad sermons that I hear, I just, like, they just, I'm like, I'm gonna leave that at church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna leave that at worship because
I don't need to ever think about that again.
Awful.
Uh-huh.
I think some of the best ones that I have experienced, though, they're the ones that are very, like, interactive.
Mm.
So the one of them that sticks out in my mind, now I couldn't tell you anymore, like, what the scripture was, couldn't really tell you the overall message, but I remember it being very engaging because it was at camp. And so when I worked at Luther Park, and one of my fellow staff members was, you know, doing the message for the worship that day, and he was just hyping up all of the kids. Mm-hmm. And asking them, you know, what do you like to do? What are you really, really good at? And, you know, for some people it was this kind of sport or this kind of sport. And some people was, yeah, I'm really good at, like, baking or whatever it was, like arts and crafts or whatever. And he goes, yeah, I'm really good at playing the cymbals. But he like tied it all in a way that he was able to share his experience. But it wasn't solely about his experience. It was about, like, all of their experience. And it was, yeah, it was really cool. It was very just interactive and engaging and just awesome. And I asked him about it and I said, how did you come up with that? He goes, I don't really know. I came up with it on the fly, like right then and there. And I was like, well, you did a great job.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have, it's maybe not like related to the message of the sermon, but what sticks out in my mind is I was at a wedding. A relative's wedding at a Catholic church. And the priest was in the middle of the homily sermon, and his cell phone started ringing. And it was in the pocket of the altar or whatever. And he just kept talking. And then, like, the assistant guy, I don't know what they're called, comes up and, like, reaches into his pocket, pulls out the phone, silences it, puts it back in, and the priest just keeps going. I'm like, well, that took me out of the moment.
That's amazing.
So, note to self, silence your phone before you start preaching.
So funny.
So, what would put it over the top is if it was a hilarious ringtone.
Right. No, I think it was just a normal one.
No.
But I remember it started to go off and I'm kind of looking around. And
I was hoping for like Baby Got Back. Or like, yeah, right? What is this button?
Oh, that would be amazing.
A priest having Baby Got Back as a ringtone.
Priests are people too.
He might, oh, that's so he funny. Might like Sir Mix-a-Lot, you know?
So. That's who does it? Who does it?
That's fair.
Who's calling him? That's poor Tom. Spit his water all over. Rain it in, guys. Rain it in.
God. Keep going.
Okay, so while Tom pulls himself together here, where if you didn't figure it out, we're talking about sermons today. And what's the point of a sermon? Maybe someday we'll talk about it. Centering yourself.
Yeah, he's not going to drink that tea anymore. He'd spit back into the cup.
Okay, sermons.
Sermons.
Yeah. What about them?
Well, okay. Before we start, I need to ask Tom. When we finished recording the last podcast, he was like, "Oh man, I forgot," and he had prepped this really amazing tidbit that I don't know if it has anything to do with sermons, but just go ahead, get it out. Tell us.
It's not.
Tell us about
it. I looked up some Latin stuff. We'll save it for another pod.
Poor Tom did his Latin.
We'll save it. If we talk about sacraments, we'll talk about it then.
Okay. Not if.
Later in the series.
Them, when we talk about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Remember that, everybody. If you're excited to talk about Latin, stay tuned for episode 4 of the series about worship, because we're all nerds. But today, we're talking about what is the point of a sermon? What have you got, Pastor Tom?
Well, since you asked so kindly, we can think of... Okay, so the sermon has a lot of, I think, functions.
Mm-hmm.
But predominantly, I think it is... It's a way... Okay, and this is going to sound strange. I like to think of preaching as being a, what's the right word here?
I don't know.
Oh God. I'm forgetting the word right now.
Is it because it's Latin?
No, it's not Latin.
Greek? Hebrew?
It's none of the above. I need to look up the word. I think I have the word in my head, but I'm not going to say it.
Say it.
Say it. No, I'm looking it up. Please work. Okay. A troubadour of the word.
Oh.
Yeah.
Troubadour.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that was not the word I was expecting. Yeah.
No. So, like, I think of the act of preaching, of proclaiming God's word as something in which that it's not a sacrament. Let's not confuse that. But I think it is an inspired act in that the Holy Spirit needs to be present, much like your friend, mm-hmm. if he's still your friend.
He is.
Okay, good. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit was present in the physical act and minimal preparation, it mm-hmm. seemed like. But God was present in that. And so I think that is a moment that we set aside to hear what God's word might be for us. Besides the scripture text, what is God's word as given through the person preaching? Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not saying like this is like a possession or anything of that nature.
Right.
But how is this word inspired by what God is up to in that particular context?
Yeah.
So the preacher is kind of an instrument. I mean, not fully, but, you know, in the right. same way that you mm-hmm. might say, God, make me an instrument of your peace or, but,
right.
you know, use me in this way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would also add that that it need like preaching. I think preaching belongs within a worship service mm-hmm. because if you are preaching on the street corner, you know, like mm-hmm. I don't mm-hmm. think you're actually preaching. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm talking about Paul preaching in the middle of a space and blah blah blah. I'm not sure if that's preaching or just talking loudly or trying to convince people, you know?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, preaching belongs in worship, and I don't know. Maybe I'm just, you know, splitting hairs here. But also, preaching needs to be grounded in scripture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, how many, like, I hate those, and I'm guilty of them, but when sermons get a little too moralistic.
Sure. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we can talk about the Good Samaritan and, oh, be nice to people.
Yeah.
But, like, if it's not, like, here is the biblical imperative to live anew, well, you can make something up and say, be a nice person, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. What was your original question?
I think I just handed it over to you.
Okay.
Well, so I have a question. Is there a difference between, I know, like in some churches, they call it a sermon or a message, mm-hmm. or like I said, in the Catholic Church, I hear the word homily. Is there a difference in that? I mean, I know that there are differences in the way the messages that get delivered, you know, mm-hmm. or even in some churches, the sermon or the message is like 45 minutes long.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, are there differences in, I guess, what those words mean, and then also in the way that different traditions use them?
I can't speak mm-hmm. with any real knowledge to that. I've heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, that a sermon is based upon the gospel, a homily is based upon whatever. Like, whatever scripture passage, whatever. Like, oh, it's All Saints Day. I need to give a message about that. So I'm going to talk about the tradition of All Saints and what that means. Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's less of a... It's churchy without being perhaps super mm-hmm. scripture-y. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I don't know if that's true or not. I've just heard that somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
And also sometimes churches just use different words for the same thing. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that brings up something I think that is worth being talked about. The struggle for the person preaching between, like, do you preach the holiday or do you preach the text?
Mm.
Do you preach, mm-hmm. like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What do you preach? So, example, what are we coming up upon? Confirmation is coming up soon.
Yeah.
So, like, do you preach confirmation or do you preach the assigned text for the day? Do you preach on, you know, some sort of passage that deals with mm-hmm. faith formation?
Yeah.
That's the question. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how do you decide that?
I usually default to the scripture passage and get out my liturgical gymnastic shoes and try and reach across and get to the day itself. Sometimes you can make the connection, sometimes you can't.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And we follow the lectionary here at Trinity. So you might be wondering, what are you talking about again? The lectionary is a 3-year cycle, A, B, and C, that focuses on a set of books in the Bible for each year in the attempt to get through most of the Bible in a 3-year rotation. Mm-hmm. So for example, year A focuses on the Gospel of Matthew and other readings. Year B, Mark. Year C, Luke. Well, what happened to John, you're wondering?
That's the best gospel.
Fake news. I don't know about that. It's all about year C. John is sprinkled throughout because people love John so much.
It's so good.
And especially in Mark, year B. Mark is the shortest, so John gets a lot of play there. So, yeah. Anyways, so like, but like we do sermon series sometimes, and that is what a lot of churches do, a straight up series. And then pros and cons, pro being that you can talk thematically about something and really dwell with it intentionally as a community. Mm-hmm. Drawback is that you get to pick and choose what people listen to and talk about as a community. Mm-hmm. Because what if you're just talking all about, you know, the New Testament every single series?
Yeah.
You forget about the beauty and richness that is in Genesis.
Yeah.
And in Isaiah and all those sorts of books in the Bible that really are core to our identity as Christians.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so with the sermon series, is that a relatively like new thing? Because I feel like that was not a thing, at least when I was growing up, but then within the probably last, like, I don't know, 7 to 10 years, I started hearing about them more and more. Or has that been something that's been in the church for a while that people just didn't really catch on to?
I think it was more, I don't know if people were lectionary based, you know, these churches that have series nonstop, but I think it was more reserved for specific seasons like Lent or Advent.
Sure.
And I think it's grown in popularity. I don't know, again, if that's true or not, but I know a lot of Lutheran or ELCA congregations that do a lot of series, they tend to just do it in seasons. Like there's a congregation up in North Dakota that will do Advent, Lent, and then a summer series.
Okay.
So that they can be a little bit more intentional. Now, I think they try to have a larger scope of what the series might be that applies to all the texts versus like we're changing everything.
Right.
Sort of thing.
Right. But.
So you're saying like when you do a sermon series, someone doesn't then follow the lectionary usually because you're picking whatever texts are going to fit the sermon series.
Oftentimes, yes. However, I mean, you could make it work. For example, there's this, I think it's the summer of year B. God, I'm such a nerd.
We know.
And it switches over to this discourse by this speech by Jesus about Jesus being the bread of life.
Okay, I was totally going to guess. Okay. I'm like, are you talking about the summer of bread?
Yeah.
So okay, you're not the only nerd.
It's called like the bread of life series. Literally, Jesus talks about being the bread of life. And what does the bread of life mean? And it's like 7 weeks long, I think. It is a doozy.
Yeah.
So depending on how long, like how the church year falls, like it could be up to 7 weeks about talking about bread. Which...
it's a lot.
It's a lot. Like you could do a series on bread. I mean, my brain is just firing off with different ways to engage the community with literal bread. But that well dries up pretty quick when it comes to preaching points. So is that something worth doing? Not. It gets tricky. So there are things that naturally fall in, like the Bread of Life series, Advent in the church year. Is another opportunity to do that because some stick with a particular prophet or you just follow the lectionary and that kind of falls into place or you do something completely different. Yeah.
Okay, I have one more lectionary question before we dig more into sermons themselves. Mm-hmm. So we tend to use the lectionary here at Trinity, but we also only do one or two readings. Uh-huh. And I know that the lectionary is more than that. So I'd love to hear you talk about a little bit more of like the entirety of the lectionary, like who created it and like how, if you know anything like that, but like how does that inform a sermon? And like, is that a good or a bad thing?
Sure.
Like, why are we talking about the lectionary when we're supposed to be talking about sermons?
Well, I don't know the history very well of the lectionary.
Okay, then forget that question.
Well, no, but
I
like,
don't care who made it.
So the lectionary has a few readings. So there's always a first reading, which is intentional because it usually comes from the Old Testament or the Jewish Bible. However, not always. So we have the first reading. The second reading is usually a letter from Paul or a letter attributed to Paul or somewhere in the New Testament. Then there's a psalm reading, and then there's a gospel. All right, so you get a little bit of each chunk of the Bible, and the psalms are just so big, it just has its own category. But psalms are usually sung, so that kind of takes that away a bit. But sometimes there are alternative readings, as well as additional readings.
Yes.
So like the lectionary might like cut off the gospel, but you know, in brackets it says you can read the next 20 verses if you'd like. Sometimes people do, sometimes people don't. And how do they inform a sermon? Oftentimes they relate to one another. So I'm just going back to Advent. All these first readings are all prophetic texts talking about the coming Messiah and what that Messiah might do. The New Testament reading, the gospel reading in those are about the announcement of to Mary, the Annunciation. It's John, Jesus' cousin, saying, repent, turn from your ways, you brood of vipers, stuff like that. So everything kind of correlates together for the season in Advent. But, you know, throughout ordinary time, which is after Pentecost, it's all about Jesus' ministry. So everything is related to growth and what discipleship looks like. So relating to a sermon, like you could naturally follow that pattern of growth, preparation, repentance, that sort of stuff. But that's not fun and doesn't attract people.
So do you think is it helpful to have the lectionary? Like to have, like I think about, you know, in someone who's preaching in a church or in a context where they get to decide what they're preaching on versus like being handed, these are the texts for the day, figure something out.
I find it helpful, and in fact, I like it because I like to see the larger scope of the narrative of what's going on in the book, and so being intentional about, you know, preaching from a book for a couple of weeks, from the lectionary, so you can track what's going on. But at the same time, sometimes it stinks because nothing's inspiring. When you get to week five of Bread of Life, but also, like, I'm looking at the, I can't remember what week I'm preaching coming up here, but I just looked at the text again, like, I'm going to wait on that. So.
See what happens. Okay, I'm curious. Katie, have you ever preached a sermon?
I have.
Tell me about when, like, what's the context of that?
So when I was at my last job in Bloomer, I would... oftentimes, not often, but sometimes if Pastor Martin was gone, I would help either to lead worship or preach or both. And I don't really enjoy doing it too much because I don't have that, the knowledge, the history, the, I don't know. I personally have to do a lot of work to dig into, you know, what the text is saying before I do it. because, you know, I could read it 10 times in a row. And every time I'm like, I have no idea what this is saying, what this means. I don't know the background of it. I know nothing. So for me, usually my sermon writing came I did a lot of it either the day or a couple days before because I just, in a lot of times, there wouldn't be anything that would hit me or inspire me or that I could think of in order to write it, to get my message across. So in our last episode that we just did, we talked a lot about, not a lot, but we talked some about those wondering questions. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what my sermons would revolve around, kind of like, oh, I wonder what this means. I wonder what this means for my life. I wonder what it means for your life. And then trying to take that overall message and challenge the congregation to, you know, do something or look out for something that week or whatever it was. I don't know. I don't really enjoy doing sermons. I will do them if I absolutely have to. But
you heard it here first.
Perfect. Yeah, right. If I absolutely have to, I will. But I don't particularly enjoy it because I think, I don't know. I feel like I can't give that same sort of effect as pastors do. Like I can't mm-hmm. give that bit of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then it's also hard because, you know, especially with Martin, he's like, yeah, you can do it on the gospel reading. You could do it on the, what did we do there? Maybe four different readings or something. Like we did several. I think we did the Old Testament, the Psalm, and then the New Testament, mm-hmm. and then the gospel, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. And he's like, you could do it on whatever. And every time I'm like, this is too many options. Mm-hmm. Too many options. Tell me which one to do it on. So I would just default to the gospel because what else are Jesus. You? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, but you don't have to preach on Jesus.
I know. I honestly could not tell you what all I preached on when I was in Bloomer. I pulled in a lot of camp experience. I pulled in a lot of college experience. And I was like, listen, I don't know what you guys want from me. And it was also really hard, too, because I know that my sermons were geared towards younger people. So whether it be mm-hmm. children through, like, young adult. And we had primarily older people there. Mm-hmm. On a typical Sunday morning, like it was probably 90% to 95% older people with a family or two sprinkled in. Mm-hmm. So it was just difficult.
What about you, Heather? Have you given a sermon?
No. I have had it suggested to me here and there with varying levels of seriousness. Mm-hmm. I want to... I don't feel like I'm equipped for it. Like it scares me. Like yeah. I feel like there's a preaching class in seminary and I didn't take it. Mm-hmm. So I am clearly not equipped to do that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's probably a format that you're supposed to follow and I don't know what that is.
Right.
So like, I'm not saying that I wouldn't ever, but I feel like I would want someone to teach me how to do it.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to hear about. Like, Tom, How does one go about making a sermon and like what do you try to get across? Like what's the point of a sermon? and how do you do a good one?
Well,
ready, go.
Well, first of all, Heather, there's a book about lay preaching.
Okay. I like books.
Okay. Calling you out. Okay. I don't know how to make a good sermon.
And I disagree.
Well, I say that because this is an ish me. Mm. Every time I leave the pulpit, I'm just like, ugh, vomit. Like, that did not hit.
Yeah,
that's true. No, I feel like you have said that to me after you preach all
I
the time.
Yeah. I very much understand that feeling.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. And I think part of it is our Midwestern European stoicness.
Yes.
That you don't emote.
Sure.
And so all the blank faces staring up at me or staring up at the screens.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes.
So you're saying you want someone to give you like a amen preacher.
I mean, I take it and I would probably, you know, make a comment about, you know, I never get that. Well,
you can keep going. Note to self.
So I guess I'll just, my basic sermon writing process, it never ends really. Like, honestly, like there's always this mental catalog of sermon illustrations mm-hmm. going on that, like we talked about the mastermind last mm-hmm. Last episode about worship in general. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that'd be an interesting way to approach what being in community is like. Anyways, so like I've got those mental nuggets constantly mm-hmm. going. And I've heard of pastors having the old Rolodex, but for sermon illustrations.
Oh.
Like, okay, this one, okay, file that in the, like, mm-hmm. you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is an old way of doing it. Mm-hmm. And other people would literally take newspaper clippings, put them in there.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh. Uh-huh. I don't know if that actually happens anymore. But so it's always ongoing. For me, I tend to read the text, like on a Sunday. Let it stew mm-hmm. overnight. Mm-hmm. And then Monday, I need to start like pulling together general thoughts and ideas. Mm. Because I am very protective of my time and I don't like writing sermons the day before. Mm. Unless like something earth-shattering happens,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't change my sermon after Thursday. Mm-hmm. And I know some people would push back and say, well, you're not leaving room for the Holy Spirit to do her work, but also, I also am called to be dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't want to be saying, kids, sorry, I can't go to the park with you. I have to finish my sermon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I just, I don't right. know. So for me, that's an ish me that I would rather have mm-hmm. it buttoned up pretty much on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just have to practice it a few times or read it through on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
But yeah, generally it's, I read a lot. I mean, I don't read a lot, but I listen to podcasts. I read articles. Mm-hmm. I always, and some people don't like it, I look at interesting words in the text, and I look at the Greek and the Hebrew, because sometimes those things are different than the English translation. And so yeah. I think it's really important to look at that. For example, I preached a couple months ago, I think it was the Transfiguration of Jesus, and Jesus tells Peter, get up. And that word get up is literally resurrection. Mm-hmm. So what if resurrection...
I remember this.
Yeah, it's not yeah. just... Yeah, I know. I liked it, so I'm going to remember yeah. this one. So what if resurrection is not just pie in the sky by and by? It is here and now where Jesus is resurrecting us yeah. to live anew, to make God's kingdom possible. So anyways, words matter. And I think, mm-hmm. I think they should be explored a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Wait, and you mean the Bible wasn't like written in English?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You know, sorry, all of this sermon writing just is making me think about this. It's very interesting. And I said it in a previous series, maybe the
Was someone's phone going off?
It was
during
silent.
A podcast.
It was silent.
Baby got
carry on, Katie.
Yeah, no, it's just very interesting and fun, especially here at Trinity, to hear the differences in the sermons between not only you, Tom, but also Pastor Patrick and Deacon Lidase. Mm-hmm. Because you all have very different styles of yep. preaching, different, I'm sure very different ways that you go about mm-hmm. writing or laying out your sermons. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just very interesting.
Yeah. And yeah. I think the hope between all three of us, and perhaps every preacher, is that there's also this element of being relatable. Mm-hmm. So you got to be able to tell a tale
yeah.
or connect with people mm-hmm. In a way that makes that all of the preaching point or the act of preaching relatable, mm-hmm. which I think is the goal of faith. You know, faith and life need to intersect. Yeah. They're not separated. They're intertwined. They are a mosaic together.
Okay, I have a question, and maybe this is a hard question, but was it earlier today? Was it last podcast that we were talking about in a sermon how the preacher is kind of, I use the word instrument, but being used. So I hear you talk a lot about reading and listening and thinking and all of that. So that, to me, all sounds really like academic. Mm-hmm. So what is the role of the Holy Spirit in preparing a sermon? Sorry.
No, that's a good question, though. Because if you have all this knowledge, why do you need the Holy Spirit? But also vice versa. Like, if you have the Holy Spirit, why do you need the knowledge?
I think the Holy Spirit how I view the Holy Spirit at work is that she's equipping me to be curious and open to how this might hit in a different context or a different time. Mm-hmm. For example, like the mustard seed parable, when I preached that in a previous place, that hit differently because it was more agricultural. Here there's a different sort of emphasis to that parable. Mm-hmm. So I think the Holy Spirit, I let her do the leading in where this might go. Am I going to like be a super nerd about words and stuff? Oh yeah, but
yeah.
I trust that the Spirit is present in their work.
Yeah,
and I would guess not that I am equating myself with the Holy Spirit, but I do know that there are often times when you'll pop into my office and say, so I'm working on my sermon and here's the direction I'm thinking about. What do you think? Mm. And so like, that's just an example of you know, having conversation and not just being in a book or something
when
you're researching, that there is relationality in there.
Yeah.
And so that I think can probably leave room for God to do some work.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that it's very important for that. And I know some pastors get together for a text study. And so they study it together and they bounce ideas off of one another. I'm not a part of one right now. So any pastors out there that want to hang out? it's helpful in some process. In a previous congregation, I did it, but everyone was a grandparent.
Mm.
And I was like, got a 2-month-old.
yeah.
Different life experiences right now.
Yeah.
So, but it's helpful, like I said, to be in conversation with others.
Sorry. Yeah. No, I was just going to say, so is it when it doesn't hit the spot, how do you, like, what's your process for that? Like, if you give a sermon, say, and I don't know if this has happened to you, but if you give a sermon and you're like, yeah, I feel good about that, but then people are coming up to you and saying, no, incorrect, like, you know, you get the feedback that you don't necessarily want. What is your process then to go through to make sure that the next one, you know, fits the context better?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Or is sometimes when you get feedback, then it hit just right?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You know, because sometimes a sermon should challenge people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm thinking of. Like, the only times I've received outwardly negative feedback is when there's been a challenge issued forth in the sermon. I've never gotten during my internship, there were some things like, hey, so stylistically, I don't think this was as effective as you wanted it to be.
Sure.
But that was more of a learning opportunity, which all of it is.
Yeah.
But I haven't received that terrible illustration, Tom. Like,
well, that's
never
good.
Again. So that's good.
Yeah.
But also I think it's not helpful when I don't hear anything.
Right.
Not that I'm soliciting feedback, but but I appreciate the good pastor or good message today, pastor. It's like,
yeah.
What specifically was helpful?
Yeah.
You know,
like, sure.
Like, I did get something a couple months ago, like, oh, I didn't know about that historical context and the connection. I'm going to have to think about that differently. And they're history nerds. I was like, oh, wonderful. I'm glad I could speak your language for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. Usually it's the bad stuff that comes out. Mm-hmm. And then that conversely, it's, do I not challenge enough in my preaching?
Sure.
Is it a little too comfortable?
Sure.
Yeah. Mm.
Do you find yourself challenging yourself during your writing process? Or is it more now that you kind of have it down? Like that's, well, not like have it down, but you know what I mean? Now that you've been writing sermons for a while, do you kind of keep to your script more often than not?
Yeah, I think I have a general pattern that I follow, but
yeah,
I could not like tell you how that works, but yeah, mm-hmm. I for sure do.
Okay.
But yeah, sometimes doing a different type of sermon is more challenging, but it's also invigorating.
Yeah.
I did a question sermon once, just straight up questions.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. I did a first person narrative sermon before. Those were challenging for sure.
Hmm.
I haven't done them since. Yeah. So I did the first person narrative was from the perspective of one of the bandits or the robbers crucified next to Jesus.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
And so it was a great way to tie in how am I complicit in the execution of Jesus, or how have I stood by, and which bandit am I?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Groovy.
Very.
Okay, so I just want to, as we wrap up, I just want to bring us back and think about, what is the point of a sermon? Is it just to keep people's attention? Is it to convict? And, what is the point?
Mm-hmm.
What's the goal, I guess?
I view preaching as, to use Lutheran language, it is to proclaim law and gospel. Law being the things we should do, all those sort of tidbits, but also the gospel, the good news that nothing we can do can save us, but is purely God's gift of grace and all of that, right? Mm-hmm. But really, I think of, to dumb it down, preaching to me is a mirror to hold us accountable for our actions and to inspire us to live anew that is more akin to how Jesus would want us to live.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
Because humans aren't perfect. And
what?
Well, and mostly. This gets...
I don't know, Tom. Mostly. I'm pretty stinking perfect.
This again gets to my whole thing about worshiping in the boat or in the deer stand, that if you don't hear other perspectives or other things like that, you can't be challenged to think or live differently.
Mm-hmm.
And if all I read is the New Testament, I can say the Old Testament God versus the New Testament God. Mm-hmm. And that's, no, it's the same God,
mm-hmm.
right? But we can hear things differently and be challenged anew.
Yeah.
I don't know. So.
Mm.
We should try to tell people that. How do we communicate that? Because I feel like sometimes people sit down and listen to a sermon and are like, okay, pastor, inspire me.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to sit back and just get filled right now.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't it be great to kind of have that, here's the goal of the sermon, friends. Here's what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that seems like that would be when we're talking about worship, maybe we need to teach people about what worship is for and what the different elements are meant to do rather than have some of the assumptions that people come into worship with and what they're wanting to get out of it.
So a worship 101 day.
Yeah.
Well, even if it's just hey, welcome everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to do the Kyrie right now, which means this, and we do it because.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little intro to each little bit.
Alternatively, people could just listen to our podcast.
That is true.
So
there's that. There is that.
We have all the answers. No room for the Holy Spirit in the chair next to me.
We're doing a real service here, friends. All right. Well, I think it's time to wrap it up.
Yeah.
And we're going to be back in your ear in another week, hopefully, with a little more talk about worship. And we're going to dive into some other topics besides just the sermon. What? Because there's other parts of worship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So very much so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe. I'm just going to throw this out there. Maybe we'll even have a guest.
Stop. I wonder who it could
First time that we will pull out that fourth set of equipment, bring on a guest. So
stoked.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. We're on the edge of our seats. So, all right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. If you have any comments or suggestions or
stories,
yeah, anything like that. Not necessarily feedback on Pastor Tom's sermons, unless it's like really pointed things that you really enjoyed. That's true. You know, shoot us an email. You can email Katie at
Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at trinity-ec.org.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Pieces.